I'm being recorded, and it's making me nervous. Last Sunday, we read from the Gospel of Mark. We're in the year of Mark. We read that Jesus was going to take his apostles to a place where they could rest. But people found out where they were going, and they were there before him. And it says Jesus looked upon them with pity, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. That says he felt pity, but that word really doesn't translate what the original word really means. The original word means that Jesus was very, very deeply moved. Kind of like when we feel an emotion that is so intense that our stomach aches a little bit, or our throat tightens up. That's the type of emotion Jesus felt when he saw the crowd, like sheep without a shepherd. The following passage in the Gospel of Mark describes the multiplication of the loaves. But the church has decided we will go to the Gospel of John to read about the multiplication. In fact, we're going to read from the Gospel of John for the next four Sundays. It's a marvelous chapter in John, the sixth chapter. It begins with the multiplication of the loaves, and then Jesus enters into his discourse on the bread of life. And you should really take advantage of this great opportunity, because it is one of the best proclamations regarding the Eucharist. As you probably have been told in the Gospel of John, there is no account at the Last Supper of Jesus taking the bread and saying, "This is my body," and the wine and saying, "This is my blood." And yet, if we read this sixth chapter of Gospel of John, we may well have the best commentary on the meaning of the Eucharist, and a real affirmation for our belief in the real presence. Because Jesus says, "Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you." He is very blunt. And that is the reason why we believe so firmly that Jesus truly comes to us under the form of bread and under the form of wine. But in the gospel today, Jesus wants us to think about many things, but one thing we might think about is what it means to give and to receive. We might take the example of the boy. It doesn't tell us much about the boy. We don't know how old he was or why he had all that bread. It was more than he needed. Did he have friends with him? Maybe he had his family with him. Or maybe he thought he would share it with Jesus and his apostles to make an impression upon him. We don't know for sure. Maybe he wanted to make some money too. But whatever his reason was, he had this bread and fish. And when Jesus asked for it, in childlike simplicity, he handed it over to him. And they didn't say, "Take a little bit for yourself and give the rest to us." They asked for all of it, and the boy gave it to him. And in the end, the boy receives back the leftovers, which was far more than he had given. And I think it tells to us, whenever we do for others, somehow our reward is greater than what we give. And we've heard people say that so often. "I gained so much more when I did a particular act of good kindness." We hear it so much, we almost think it's a cliche. But it's really true. Sometimes we're called upon to do things we really don't want to do. We do them, and we find it satisfying. The reward is great. So Jesus gives us an example here of what it means to give to others. Not simply money, not simply our talent, but I think our greatest asset of all is our time. Because it is hard sometimes to find the time to do the things for others that we would like to do, or we feel we should do. But it's important we realize that the rewards are great, even from a human standpoint, the good feeling we have when we do something for others. So we ask God to help us to be generous. Be generous with our talent, our treasure, but most of all with our time, because it may be the greatest treasure we have.